I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles with me or whatever device you may have to be able to look up the scripture reading. And this is from Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, we read this together last week. We're going to read it again. This is Paul's prayer for the Ephesians. It's also a prayer that we can pray for us as well here at Pathway and for all those watching online as well and listening online. A prayer for the Ephesians, a prayer for Pathway. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 21. Ephesians 3:14 through 21. I'm actually going to read it this morning in the New Living Translation, just to give us a little bit different wording on this passage. So in the New Living Translation, it reads like this. When I think of all this, this is the Apostle Paul writing this, and he's talking about all these things he's already talked about in chapters 1, 2, and 3, the great awesome grace of God, the love of God, His mercy, the way that all of us, Jesus Christ provided for all of us to be able to have a relationship with God. He says, for all of this, when I think of all of these things, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from His glorious, unlimited resources, He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust in Him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is His love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Thankful for God's power. Thankful for God's power. Once in a while, I enjoy watching what many of you probably have seen before, or maybe you watch it and you're like, oh, I don't even want to watch any more of that. I'm turning the channel, or I just sometimes it comes up on my Facebook feed. But I sometimes it grabs my attention, the World's Strongest Man competition. And I know they have the World's Strongest Females and all this, but sometimes it strikes my attention in a way that I look and see, but how in the world do they have the strength to lift the things that they lift, to lift these giant boulders, these rocks up and set them on platforms, and then the next one is just a little bit strong, a little bit heavier, and they lift that up, and then the next one's even heavier than that, and sometimes they're lifting just so much strength. Lifting so many pounds that you think, how is that humanly possible? How are they that strong to lift that, or to maybe even pull a giant truck, or pull some kind of machinery behind them with their teeth or with their body in such a way that they display their strength? Well, they've trained for years, haven't they, to be able to do that. Most of them have a body, a physique to them that is much bigger than I am, obviously. Why are you laughing? I think Terry's laughing more than any of you. I hear her laugh out there. But they've trained, they've worked harder, and they get stronger each and every day, don't they? They've learned techniques that will help them even lift things in a better way, in a greater way, and even in a safe way. I sometimes wonder, how in the world can they support that much weight and their knees not give out or break underneath them, or their arms just break? But they have great strength, don't they? However, there is limit to their strength. They can't lift everything. They can't lift the whole world. They can only lift so much. They can only pull so much. They can only do so much in life. The same is true for us. We can only do so much on our own strength. But I want to remind us this morning that our God is all-powerful. Amen? Our God is all-powerful. Nothing is too difficult for God. Another way of saying that, all things are possible through Him. Our God has the power to change lives. Our God has the power to rescue us from the dominion of darkness into His glorious light. Apostle Peter wrote those words. I'm thankful today for God's power. And in Paul's prayer, in this prayer that he prays in Ephesians chapter 3, he uses this word power in several times in several verses. He uses the word power. And this word comes from the Greek word that is pronounced dunamis. Dunamis. And it's one of those Greek words that is very easy. It's probably one of the Greek words that I can remember without much memory. But dunamis actually comes, it is the same word from which the word dynamite is derived. Dynamite. So this is explosive, awesome power. It's spiritual power that comes from God. And Paul says it comes from His glorious, unlimited resources. I heard our General Superintendent of the Wesleyan Church, Dr. Wayne Schmidt, one time give a message, and he talked about God's power and His strength. And he said these words. He said, "Our Father, our God, is super rich." He says, "But He's more than just being super rich, and He's more than just being filthy rich. Our God is gloriously rich. He's gloriously rich. He can fill us with that awesome spiritual power that only comes through the Holy Spirit in our inner being." Now, I want to tell you this morning that sometimes that Terry and I, when we introduce ourselves for the first time to people, we'll say, "Well, our names, I'm Todd and this is Terry." And you can remember us by just remembering we're TNT. We're dynamite today. So we're dunamis. We're that dynamite power. No, we're not anything special like the special power of God in our inner being. But it's just something that we like to do. TNT. It's a dynamic power. God wants us to be people that are dynamic Christians, dynamic Christ followers for Him, that are powerfully going out into the world and representing Christ in a dynamic way. One pastor said this. He said, "God is far more concerned with what is going on within us than without." Within us. He knows that what is happening on the outside of the person is a direct reflection of what is happening on the inside. I'm thankful for that this morning because I mess up a lot on the outside. I do a lot of things that I think, why did I do that? Why did I say that? What is going on? But God is more concerned about what's happening in the heart. What is happening on our inside? And He wants to fill us with His power. I'm thankful for that power this morning. God's power strengthens us. God's power strengthens us. It strengthens us in our inner being. We read these verses, and I read them to you this morning in verse 16 about the glorious, unlimited resources that God has, where we can benefit from those resources in such a way that that we're so thankful for that today. And in verse 16 in the New International Version, it says, "I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being." Through his Spirit. That's why Paul could write in Philippians 4:13, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." If you never heard this before, that is the 10-finger prayer. 10-finger prayer. It's easy to remember that verse by just remembering 10 fingers. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I didn't come up with that. I heard that from somebody else. But it helps me remember Philippians 4:13. I can do all things. How? Through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Paul isn't saying that we become a superhero, that we have some kind of superhero strength like Superman or Batman and Robin or Wonder Woman or whoever you like to think of when you think of superheroes. It's not about having superhuman strength. It's about Christ's power strengthening us in our inner being. Now, what does that exactly mean? What did Paul exactly mean when he said that Christ's power can strengthens us in our inner being? A long time ago, quite a few years ago, in fact, I believe he lived in the late 1800s and early 1900s. The pastor and writer Andrew Murray wrote these words, and I believe it helps us to understand a little more fully what it means when Paul says that we are strengthened in the inside through the strength of Christ. He says, "Christ cannot give me power as a thing to have in myself." In other words, we can't just stir up this power ourselves. We can't do a bunch of things to inherit this power, but only Christ, through the Holy Spirit, can give us the power of God. And he says, "You may have been in some great factory in life and seen the mighty engine, which was the great fountain of power for moving all the machinery in that factory." He said, "Not a spindle or a wheel has any power of its own. It can only get power as it is connected with the engine. Just so, Christ is a great fountain of power. He cannot communicate power to me if I have any secret power of my own carried about." He went on to say, "If I want to be filled with the power of Jesus, as the machine must be in momentary connection with the steam engine, so my soul must be in momentary connection with Jesus." If you want to experience the power of Jesus Christ in your life, stay connected to Jesus. Stay connected to Jesus. He is the vine. When Jesus talked about the vine and the branches in Luke chapter 15, verses 1 through 8, he tells us in that chapter of Luke what that means about staying connected and how we're supposed to stay connected. If you want to turn with me there, and actually this is John chapter 15, I'm sorry, not Luke chapter 15. John 15, verses 1 through 8, Jesus says this, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it may be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. So remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not remain in me, he is like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me, and my words remain in you, Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples." Jesus tells us there that staying connected to the vine is what we must do if we're going to be strengthened in our life. If we want God's power to strengthen us, we need to stay connected. Remain in Christ, and He will remain in us. Because apart from Him, we can do nothing. When we stay plugged into the power source, God gives us His strength to do all that He asks us to do. And He gives us all that we need to become more like Christ. I'm thankful for God's power that strengthens me. I'm also thankful today for God's power that changes us. God's power that changes me, that changes you, changes us from the inside out. From the inside out. Verse 19, again, says, "May you experience," and this is back in Ephesians 3, "may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully, but then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God." Talk about a life change. Talk about a life-changing experience when God changes us through the love of Jesus. I don't know if you ever heard of the man many years ago that was in Tennessee. And this man, he lived in a very rural setting, probably even more than what we are here in our setting here. But he lived in the back mountains of Tennessee. And he found himself one day in a very large city. And in this city, for the first time, he saw something in front of him, and he was there with his son, and he saw something in front of him that kept opening up the doors, and then the doors would close again. And then after a little while, the doors would open up again, and then they'd close again. He wasn't sure what it was, and he just kind of stood there for a few minutes watching this happen. Well, there was a lady that was just kind of old and just haggardy looking and just not very pleasant to look at. So he just kind of hobbled into this, what he thought was a machine of some sort, hobbled in, and the doors closed. And he kind of waited to see what was going to happen. And after a couple minutes, the doors opened back up. And this beautiful lady came walking out of these doors. And he says to his son, he says, "Son, go get your mom." Those of you that's still catching up to you, is an elevator. The power of change. But we're not talking about that kind of change this morning. I'm talking about the life-transforming power of change. I am thankful today for God's power that changes us from the inside out. Now, I can't promise you today that God's going to change you into the most beautiful person on earth. No, it doesn't work that way, like that man thought it did. But the Apostle Paul tells us that God transforms us with His power through the amazing, powerful love of God. He changes us from the inside out. It's not about trying harder on our own strength. It's not about, again, like I said, doing a bunch of things and rules and things that we try to do to earn God's power. But God transforms our life and changes us one day at a time as we lean on Him, as we depend on Him for that change. We can't become more like Jesus on our own power. That power that God gives us is the only power that can change us as we become more and more like Jesus, as He transforms our life. I was a very shy person when I was a lot younger, as I was growing up, especially in elementary school and middle school, and I didn't like to talk to people very much, and to think that I would be up in front of people giving messages, to be in front of people singing. Back then, I thought that would be crazy for me to do that. But God has a way of changing us, doesn't He? I was thinking about some of those changes as God was changing me and the inside. That was actually helping me to change some things I was doing on the outside as well. Many of you, if not all of you, are familiar with the community of Greenville, which is just a little ways, a few miles north of us. That way, right? I keep going like that. It's that way, I guess. Greenville, many years ago when I was a teenager, before the Wesleyan Church there in Greenville was even a church, before they had a building, before they had even people going to that church, I was a part of a team, and I think, Terry, you might have been a part of this as well, because there was a team of teenagers all across this North Michigan district area that came together, and we went in the Greenville area. The district was thinking about planting a Wesleyan church then, and this was back, oh my goodness, in the mid-80s, I think, and so 1980s. Kids and youth, you're like, man, that was a long time ago. So as teenagers, we were invited to come and go around and canvass the area of Greenville, go knocking on doors and asking people just two or three different questions. So we knock on a door, they come up, and this was on a Saturday. We did this, and we just asked them, do you go to church anywhere? And if they said, yes, we do, and we'd say, well, what church is that? They talked to us just a little bit. We'd say, well, that's awesome. Thank you for telling us that. And we go to the next home. If it was a home that they would actually tell us that they didn't go to church anywhere, we'd ask them a couple different questions. They'd say, well, you know, what would it be like in a church building or in a church setting for you to actually want to go to church? And we just kind of start those conversations with them. Well, you got to remember, I was that shy person, that shy kid that I didn't like to talk very much, but for some reason, God was changing my life in the inside in a way that I was excited about going up to homes, knocking on the door, and helping out with this ministry to possibly see a church, Wesleyan Church, planted in Greenville. So we knocked on a few doors, talked to a few people. Well, one of those doors, I happened to get the door slammed shut almost in our face. I mean, we knocked, person opened up the door, and he looked at us and just slammed his door shut. And we had to kind of psych ourselves up again. So, but God filled us with His power. He was changing us, even as teenagers, to have that the abilities and have the courage to go out and be bold with our faith and to try to get some people interested in a new church. And now, I don't know if you know the history of the Wesleyan Church there in Greenville, but that church has a few hundred people going to that church and a dynamic ministry happening there, all because God helped some shy people and some people that may not have had the courage to go out on their own, but they had the power of God changing them from the inside out to be able to do that and go out boldly to share our faith and see God work some miracles and see a Wesleyan church go forward in Greenville. I'm thankful today that God gives us the power. God gives us the power and the strength to change us from the inside out. Third and lastly, I'm thankful for God's power that encourages us. God's power that encourages us to step out in faith. He strengthens us, He changes us, but He also encourages us by giving us His power to step out. In verse 20, Paul says in the NIV translation, he reads, "Now to Him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to His power that is at work within us." He is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine according to the power that is at work within us. If you were to look up the definition today of encourage, and I'm going to give it to you, but I looked the definition up. If you looked it up, you'd see these words. The definition of encourage means to make someone more determined, more hopeful, or more confident. It also means to make something more appealing or more likely to happen. And then the third definition that I saw for encourage was to make someone more likely to do something. That's what encourage means. So when God fills us with His power, His mighty power, it encourages us. In other words, it changes us in a way to make us more determined, more hopeful, more confident, maybe more likely to do something for Him because of His power living inside of us. God's power encourages us to live a holy life. It encourages us to live a holy life. You may say, well, I struggle with that, Pastor Todd. I struggle with living a holy life. Are we really, supposed to do that? How in the world can we live a holy life in this day and age? Well, I believe that we are able to because of God's power living in us. And there are many verses in God's Word that tells us to be holy, like our God is holy. And no, we're not going to be holy in the perfect sense of holiness until we are with Him in eternity. But when Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:11, what kind of people ought you to be? He says this: you ought to live holy and godly lives. I can't argue with that. It's in God's Word. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, it tells us, make every effort to live in peace with all men and to be holy. For without holiness, no one will see the Lord. Another place in Scripture it tells us to live a holy life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 13 through 15. Peter says, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Be self-controlled. Set your hope fully on the grace to be given you when Jesus Christ is revealed. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as He who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy, because I am holy. We can argue all day long and say, there's no way I can be holy in this life. But if that's true, why is it in God's Word? Amen? Amen. I'm not saying we're not going to make mistakes. I'm not saying that we may not stumble and fall, or I'm not saying today that we will never sin. But God's power living inside of us, going in from the inside out, that power encourages us to live a holy life. A holy life that is only possible with the powerful love and grace and mercy of Jesus and the Holy Spirit inside of us, helping us live and helping us to live that holy life that God wants us to live each and every day. God's power also encourages us to step out in faith, step out of our comfort zones. Just like I was saying, I had to step out of my comfort zones many times as a teenager, and I still do. There's times that I start shaking before I have to come up here to boldly proclaim God's Word. This is not something that I take lightly. I'm a servant of the Lord presenting His gospel message to you week after week, and that is something that I need God's help with each and every day and each and every week as I prepare messages to share what He wants me to say, not what I want to say. Stepping out in faith, out of our comfort zones, is what God's power can encourage us to do. And God's power also encourages us to be bold witnesses for Christ. You may be here this morning, may think, I don't know how I can share Jesus with my neighbor. He's just such a tough person, or she's just a tough person, and they don't listen. I don't know if they would hear me and the words, but Jesus gives us his strength and his power to be that witness for Christ. And sometimes I've just had to breathe just a word of prayer and say, God, I don't know how to say things. And I'm not sure quite what this person needs to hear from you today, but I just ask that your words would flow through me. Help me to be bold today. Help me to say the things that you want me to say, whatever this person needs to hear from you. And God's power flows from the inside out of us to help us to be bold witnesses for Christ. 2 Timothy 1:7, we read this verse together, those of us that were together on Wednesday night in our prayer group. It says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear and timidity, but of power and of love and of self-discipline." Of power and love and self-discipline. We all need God's power. We all need God's power. Each and every day, no matter what we face, no matter how strong we may think we are as a person, we need his power to live a godly and holy life in this world. And it is possible if we do this. And I want to close with giving you four ways to apply this message throughout this week and the weeks to come. Stay connected to the vine. Stay connected to the vine. How do we do that? Reading God's word, praying, fasting, moments of silence and solitude, of listening to God, staying connected to Jesus, the vine. Praying and asking God to strengthen you with his power. We can ask that. Lord, strengthen me today. Help me. I need your help today. I need your power to flow into my life and through me and out of me. Third, be willing to change. That is so hard, isn't it? I'm just like you. I don't necessarily like to change. Change is hard for me. But if we're willing to do that, the Holy Spirit knows exactly what it is, the ways that we need to change in the inside, our hearts and our minds. Be willing to change as he directs us, as he guides us in those changes. And then, like I've preached, be willing to go and step out of your comfort zone. When the opportunities arrive, when the moments come up that you just sense that this may be the time that God wants me to say something, this may be the time that maybe God wants me to write a note of encouragement to somebody. This may be the time that God wants me to just call somebody and step out of my comfort zone. Maybe you're a texter. Maybe you never call and say the words in person. Call them. Maybe they need to hear it from you, not just in a message on their phone. Maybe they need to hear it from their ears. Whatever God leads you to do to step out of your comfort zone, be willing to do that. And let's see how God's power strengthens us this week, encourages us, and changes us to be more like him. Let's stand together. I'm going to pray for us as we close today, but let's not let this message just go in one ear and out the other. Let's be prepared to share Jesus with anyone that we come in contact with, especially those that know that need him, that need to have a word of encouragement. And let's just be bold witnesses for Christ. Lord God, thank you for encouraging us through your word today. Your word is living and active, a double-edged sword that comes and penetrates through the heart and in our minds to help us know you better, to help us live the godly and holy lives that you've called us to live. Lord, we need your help. We need your grace and love just to pour out upon us each and every day. I'm so glad that your faithfulness is new every morning, that even in the times that we mess up and we make mistakes, Lord, you still love us. Your love is deep and wide. Your love is high and low. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of Jesus. So, Lord, we want that love. We want your love to change us, to be more and more like you. Not so that we can be anything special, not so that people can look at us and say, oh, look at him or look at her. They're so wonderful. But no, so they can say, look at him, look at her. They love Jesus. There's something different about them that I want. There's something that is attractive because they must know someone, or they must be in tune with something that makes them different to be able to just live a life that is different. It is a life that they will want. And that's because, Lord, you are giving us the strength, and you're giving us that power that flows out of us that people can even see through our actions and experience through our attitudes in life. So go with us. Keep us safe, Lord, we ask. May we be a light in the darkness and a bold witness for you. And may we come back, if you haven't come back, to bring us into your heavenly presence. We pray that God will come back and bring others with us that need to know you and that need to experience your loving grace. And Lord, we will give you honor and we'll give you praise in all that we do and all that we say. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.